Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the June issue, where we'll cover healthy sleep, diet and exercise, complementary and alternative treatments, sports and recreation, and developing social skills. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and with us in our virtual studio tonight is Caroline McGuire. She's also an ADHD coach, and we have a very different show than what we've done in the past, and what I hope to be a very fun show. The topic is the scientific method of ADHD coaching. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, May the 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to get right into the meat of the content, but just some announcements real quick. The ADD Coach Academy is trying to gather some research on the VIA character strengths, are asking people to go to addca.com/character to take part of this, or take the free survey. It'll take you about 20 minutes. You'll get the answers, and it's very helpful. They're trying to compile the data for those with ADHD and compare it to those without and see what they can find. Also, Dr. Barclay's asked me to promote the ADHDfund.com website, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise funds for small-scale ADHD research worldwide. Also, it's not too early to start planning for this year's CHAD conference. It's going to be in New Orleans, November 12th through the 14th. You can get more information on that by going to chadd.org. So let's get into the show tonight. Again, we got Caroline McGuire, and she is certified as a personal coach for children with ADHD and their families. She earned her ACCG from the AD Coach Academy and her PCC from the International Coach Federation. She also received a Master's of Education at Lesley University. She's a certified CHAD parent-to-parent coach and is a teleclass leader for the ADD Coach Academy. So I'm going to just kind of spin that around. She's actually on faculty with myself. We actually train other coaches to be ADHD coaches. She created a new training curriculum designed for those for the ACO to teach other coaches how to coach children with ADHD. She lives with her husband and two children in Concord, Massachusetts, and her website is necoaching.com. With that, Caroline, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you so much. This is a little bit different, but I think this will be a lot of fun.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. You know, a couple of days ago, we were doing a show with you, and I was talking about my theories of ADHD coaching and science, and which was kind of sparked the show, and you said you had some questions over it.
Yes. So Jeff, you had said some interesting things where you talked about the scientific method, and you said, well, it's related to coaching and that they all sort of wrap up together. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, let's just talk about what the scientific method is in science, and then we'll relate it to our space. In science, you have the scientific method, which oversimplifies. Is you start with a hypothesis or a question, and then you look through a lens of sorts and make an observation and hopefully a discovery. And
okay,
really, science as we know it and we think about it is all based on that methodical process of kind of going through it. And, you know, you do it a couple times and you repeat the experiments because you want to replicate the results in order to say, hey, listen, this is science. It works. And so
practically
a person might go out and look up in the sky and go, I wonder if there's anything up there other than those twinkly things. That'd be the question. You look through a telescope, which is an optical lens, and you might see planets and galaxies. And eureka, you've got a discovery. Make sense?
Makes total sense. How does this relate, though, to coaching?
Yeah, well, I'm going to do one quick thing, two caveats, and we'll jump into that. One is a lens we think of as like an optical lens, like a telescope or a microscope. But to me, a lens is just something that you use to pay attention to things differently. So a regression analysis, math, actually witnessing two comparison things at one time, it's a lens of sort, maybe not an optical lens, but it is a lens that you look through in order to kind of make a discovery. So when I back up and say that lens is a little bit bigger, it opens things up a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right.
So you're saying that the lens you're using is, you know, similar and has some properties of the science.
It's a good point. Let's talk about one more concept, and then we'll talk about that specifically. When we're coaching, if everybody has listened to my show over the years, I always say I'm an ADHD and attention coach, and there's a reason for that. Nobody's looking for an attention coach. But I think that represents exactly what we're coaching, Caroline, is really somebody else's attention. Now, I use ADHD because they're looking for ADHD coaches. And I do specialize that, but at the end of the day, I really consider myself an attention coach. And, you know, Caroline, what's interesting is when it comes to your attention, think about it, only you can witness it.
True, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, go ahead.
So you're saying that, you know, everyone actually has this need to see themselves in a unique light.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving them, you're just saying it, with ADHD, we're looking at the attention. With other things, you know, you also are looking at attention. So you're saying that basically, you know, this attention piece is something that only the individual can see.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so the thing about it with it's only you can see it, you can't see anybody else's, and you've got nothing to compare it to.
Think about that.
So let's just put this in a context. We like sports as a metaphor. So imagine, Caroline, you know, as coaches, imagine being a blindfolded basketball coach. You can't really see the action that's going on the court.
Absolutely. You'd be blind.
All we can do is ask questions about what's going on to help the individual try to figure out what really makes the most sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. So break this down for us a little more.
Okay, so we got this notion of a lens, and we got the notion that we're coaching attention. We really kind of can't see it. So if I'm going to coach somebody, really what I'm doing is there's going to be a question or a hypothesis, like maybe what's my passion? Okay, there's a model that I use called the interest model. It's kind of similar to the I model that what you've learned from the ADD Coaching Academy, but it's basically a visual picture that talks about a rocket. It's designed to blast off and go into space, and it's a metaphor for a person's brain. And for those with ADHD, you put interest into the brain so it can pay attention. It talks about how when you put interest in, the brain kind of kicks into gear and starts to filter out things. And the closer you get to pure passion, the closer a person gets to maybe hyper-focus or the zone, or hyper-focus or being in the zone. And the opposite of that is you feel the brain full of disinterest, then the filters are taken off, and a person will find anything that's more stimulating to fill their brain with, sometimes not so good stuff like maybe drugs, alcohol, acts of daring stuff. And this thing that I'm describing, the interest model, is a lens of sorts that when I'm working with somebody, the notion is, what is your passion? And we begin to look at this lens and say, your brain can't not pay attention to something. And so it's always like a magnet. It's going to go to the thing that's the most interesting thing in the room. So, by the way, this is a real good tool to determine what a person's procrastinating on. And if it points to, like, video games for me, it's like, okay, I get the video games, but what video games are you playing? And, by the way, a lot of those with ADHD, like the Halo and shoot 'em up games, which if you understand those games, in order to win those, you got to understand human behavior to beat the other person. Makes sense?
It makes total sense.
So,
in this sense, their compass is pointing.
Yep. So in this sense, the question is, what is their passion? We have this interest model, which is a lens that I describe to them as a metaphor for them to begin to watch their mind and see what it automatically goes to. So let me give you another tangible example of what this looks like. I was working with a woman one time, and after interviewing Dr. Barclay, I really realized how emotions are very much a part of ADD. And in asking her, like, you know, what does she do? She watches TV, and she had issues in the office. And I always have that interest model in the back of my mind. And she was talking about TV shows. I said, what shows did you watch? And she said, well, I like Food Network, Chopped, Desperate Housewives. And I began to listen to the stuff that was kind of going on at work, and it was interesting to me because by using the fact that she was drawn to these things and seeing what do they all have in common, how are they all the same, drama popped up. And once we discovered
that
we realized is that she's drawn to drama. Like almost everything she does has a drama component. If there's no drama, then she's not attracted to it. So
I get it.
So going back to the scientific method, the idea here really is in working with her, we're using a lens, the interest model, to try to help her understand what she pays attention to and see what they're all similar. In this situation, we made a discovery, and that is she's really, really drawn and passionate about drama. Now, it got in her way sometimes, and it was very helpful for sometimes, but we didn't realize that until we used that lens, made that discovery, and then we were in a much better position to manage it.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from you, too, is that, you know, these lenses help us look at our patterns, and they are just a vehicle that helps us look at patterns, just like a scientist looks at a pattern, you know, of a long, you know, study of bacteria or something, you know, like that. You're saying that these lenses help us look at patterns, and for this woman, the pattern was drama.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, that makes sense.
These lenses can help you pay attention to maybe your beliefs.
Okay, which can have a pattern as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know that the person will say something, and you go, really, how does that belief serve you? That's a typical coaching question. And I know it sounds like a question, but when you ask, like, how does that serve you, coaching questions tend to be very open-ended and send a person off to go retrieve some information or think through it and make a discovery. And so if you say, how does that serve you, and I'm sure you've answered similar questions like that, they've never really looked at how that belief served them before. And when they go, that question or a lens of sort, they go looking, well, actually I really don't think it serves me. It actually kind of keeps me down. And if they make that discovery, then we have an opportunity where they're like, I really, that doesn't serve me. I need to let it go. Make sense?
It makes total sense. So we are up against a break a little bit, but when we come back, Jeff, I really want to look at a little bit about what you mentioned. You said they're watching their mind. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about that because it sounds like this is all connected. So when we come back, let's explore that a little more.
I'm glad you brought that. I got a great example. So everybody, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
As the mom of a kid with ADHD, I wanted him to have a summer camp experience like all the other kids, but I also wanted him to work on his social skills and become more confident, so I decided to send him to SOAR.
At SOAR, I got to have fun and be myself with other kids who are just like me. I felt comfortable and like I was part of a group. I can't wait to go back next summer.
Give your child a summer of success at SOAR. Learn more and apply today at ADHDSummerCamps.com or SOARNC.org. Your journey to success begins at SOAR.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Caroline, I'm having a great time explaining some of this stuff to you, at least from my little pea brain. And I don't know, it wasn't intended, but you asked a great question before the break. And actually, I forget exactly how you phrased it.
Okay, so, you know, I'm thinking of the folks listening who maybe are actually not, you know, embedded in the coaching world and mm-hmm. are interested in what coaching is. And so you've said some really interesting things, and one of them you said was that part of this lens and this coaching experience and using these models to reveal patterns of behavior is that the client or the person being coached watches their own mind. And you said just some examples, and I thought that was really key and really should be explored.
Yeah, so let's do one right now. This will illustrate two things, okay? This is going to be a lens, okay, and it's designed to help you witness your attention. So,
great.
Are you okay to be my guinea pig?
Fine to be your guinea
pig. Okay. So everybody else out there, you can do it at the same time. Caroline, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you 4 words very slowly and one at a time. Do
okay.
not write them down.
Oh, dear.
And do not repeat them.
Okay.
Okay? When I'm done... When you're ready, repeat them back to me in alpha order.
Oh, geez.
You ready?
Okay.
Kangaroo, beat, heart, teach.
Okay.
Anytime you're ready.
Beat, kangaroo, heart, teach.
It's actually beat, heart, kangaroo, teach.
Oh, darn. Okay.
But that's okay. It wasn't about getting it right. This exercise that you just did was for you to witness your working memory.
Which is not all that great. Right?
So that's actually
something that's really important.
Yeah, but people talk about working memory, but notice is how when I said those words, you had to hold those 4 words in your mind. You had to remember them.
Yes.
And in different ways, I mean, everybody might do this differently, but like for me, I go through each one of them and begin to say, okay, where would that be? And then I'm holding the memory of those words and rearranging them in alpha order and then trying to repeat it back. And
with some people's working memories like mine, if I don't write it down, that is not easy, which is an important key for the attention piece. But link
absolutely.
This all together for us.
Absolutely. So,
you're going.
By the way, about 50% of everybody I do that to either forgets a word or gets the order wrong, and that's just 4 words, 4 simple words. So let's go to the practical world. In particular, and I'm jumping to this because when I'm working with somebody, there's usually a reason that I'm doing this, but we're living in the digital age right now, and computers we're having to do a lot from. And if you're ever in a situation where you've got a smartphone or a small tablet and you're having to cross-reference different screens –
yep.
From one screen to another screen to another screen, you're actually grabbing those concepts and holding them in your working memory and having to manipulate them like play. And the problem with it is you have a hard time with working memory. And so it's interesting to me how we're all about supposed to go green, but I can't tell you how many of those with ADHD struggle with that because you're having to rely more on your working memory, and it falls apart. And so in the moment that you see that, particularly if I'm working in an area that somebody, I got a clue that there's something going on, or even one of my sons, he's got a horrific class right now because they've got like an online textbook, they got PDFs, they got PowerPoints, he's got his notes, and they're all in different locations. He's having to scroll them down. It's in that moment that they can begin to see, oh, I don't have the working memory. And when I say, what would be easier? And they go, well, print it all out. Yes. In that moment of witnessing their working memory as a lens and seeing their own, and realizing they're having a hard time juggling some stuff, they begin to see the value of printing it out because imagine if you did that exercise and you were allowed to write it on index cards. It'd be piece of cake for
no
you.
No problem whatsoever. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, Jeff, what I hear you saying, too, is that, you know, people's self-awareness is raised. Because I already knew that my working memory needs things to be written down. But not everybody does.
Here's the thing is, you know that because you're older. You know how powerful that exercise is on a 16 and 17-year-old?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're so – what they're paying attention to is what everybody's telling them or what they think they should do. It's not until I can maybe give them that model and they can witness it in their own mind that they shift how they're paying attention to it and are more open to the fact that maybe I need to print it off because that would be easier for me.
So you're saying that just by doing this exercise, in addition to using the interest model or the lens, people then become more aware of their strengths and also, you know, their weaknesses.
Yep. So here, let me use another model that I use that kind of ties to this in another area. And, you know, Caroline, you imagine you come into the office every day and you boot up your computer so the operating system comes up, and then you open maybe Outlook or Microsoft Office or Microsoft Word, and then that kind of comes up. And then let's say you're typing a letter or an email and you get a couple sentences into it, right? Now somebody comes in and distracts you.
Okay? Oh, that's always what happens.
You've got to get up, go, whatever. Effectively, for those with ADHD, it's like you unplug the computer.
Absolutely.
They have to go back and they've got to boot up the computer. They've got to open up Word again. They've got to go take a look and read the couple sentences that they had there and rebuild in their mind where they were going with it. Then they get distracted and the computer gets unplugged. You do that 3 or 4 times. Can you see how those with ADD would get really frustrated and or just give up and not do it?
Absolutely. And that and as you know, I mean, that's part of what the machine is about. It's looking at what is it that your machine needs. And what I'm hearing is that person probably needs an environment where they're not distracted.
You're exactly right. But that's when we kind of get into, well, how does that work? And so there's a couple people I've coached that have similar type of situation, like particularly at home, if they're enthralled, the other family members, they've explained this to them, what's kind of going on. And the family member, there's like like maybe a rock or there's some symbol that they go and they leave next to the person as opposed to interrupt them. And then when the person kind of like gets done, they see it and they go track them all down because they realize that person didn't interrupt them because they would have had to start all over again.
Okay.
Make sense?
Okay. Absolutely. So you're helping them witness their own inner workings, really.
Yep. The other thing, too, is I've coached lawyers before where they have to sit down and they have to digest big cases, and they might have only 2 hours and need to spend 5 hours on it. So they spend the 2 hours and they get done. If they walk away from it, they actually take a couple steps backwards. So one of those notions is they begin to document, like do a brain dump by dictating what's going on at that point in time. It's kind of like a shortcut. When they come back, they can read the thoughts that were floating around in their head when they did that so that they can get back where they are as opposed to having to recall it. Because we know that ADHD is an executive functioning issue, and it's very effortful. So you're basically, rather than having to sit there and effortlessly recreate where you were, is you read what you dictated as a shortcut to kind of get you where you are, so you only take a half step backwards as opposed to 2 or 3.
Okay, so let me just make a bridge here, though. So you're not only doing these exercises and using these lenses and bringing forth some strategies, you're also helping people understand that there are ways to cope with this working memory problem, and you're giving them something that can actually rapidly increase their productivity.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Awareness is really the key, because if you don't – working memory is just a word. Until you experience it and you understand how it works, then you go, oh, my God, what I need to do is I need to quit relying on my working memory because that's not going to happen. Now you're open to shifting to other things, pay attention to things differently, and other structures and solutions, and then we can really get going. But we can't make that move until you really get what working memory is.
So what I love about this is that you're creating action in the coaching session instead of just you know, sort of going through a simple conversation. You're allowing the person to, in action, witness and see themselves almost like they're watching it on a TV screen. And they could see how their inner workings are. So that links back to what you said originally, which is that only I can pay attention to what I pay attention to.
Yep.
So tell me a little bit more about how you make this all happen.
Well, I want to touch base on that, but one of the things that's interesting about coaching is when people come to me, they always want outcome, outcome, outcome. And I found awareness to be much more powerful because if you can witness and understand what your working memory is and you get it, you'll naturally go to other structures. It's not really hard. So let me give you an example. I was coaching this woman one time, and there's a learning exercise that I have people go through. It's a lens. It's more complicated to describe to you right now, but we went through it, and she was clearly really, really, really very visual. And at the end of a call one time, she was sitting down because she was supposed to write, and she was telling me how difficult it was. And I was asking her what was in front of on our table, and she said, you know, this stuff. And I had an intuitive hit saying, is there anything on your table done? In other words, it's finished. She said, well, no, they're all projects. And I said, huh, it sounds to me what you're doing is you're looking at your to-do list. That's all I said. All I said. A week later, she calls. Hey, how you doing? Great. You know, the other day I came in, I walked in, took my chair and put it on the outside, took every my desk, put it on there, sat down, and I wrote, and I cranked some stuff out. And I said, what? She said, I came into the office. Oh, no, after that. Well, I sat down. No, between that. And I said, did you really take the chair outside of your office and put everything on it? She said, yeah. I said, do you see you activated? She said, what do you mean? I said, that stuff was a burden for you because it was pressure. And when you removed it from the room, you were able to write. And she was like, you could hear this. Oh, my God, I did. Then she started to tell me of some other things that she had done in the week that she didn't realize because she had removed the visual clutter when she needed to focus. And the fun part for me was, you know, using the learning exercise as a lens to realize how visual she really was, once she identified with it and the fact that if there was something out that created a burden for her, it was difficult for her, she began to activate on her own without even knowing it.
Which I love, because what you're saying is basically you gave her an opportunity, almost by happenstance, to learn what she needs.
She needs to
remove that clutter.
I'm gonna change the wording around. She was always like that, but she was never aware of it. And once she became aware of it, it was easy because the solutions were obvious.
Right.
It's obvious. It's obvious. I can't remember four words, so I'm gonna write them down. So you're already automatically gonna do something. It's not effortful. It just happens because you realize is that you can't hold that all in your working memory.
Right. So the awareness is the most key piece, is what I'm hearing, because the awareness allows people to activate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In some very unique ways. So
let's
talk about that a little bit. We do need to run to another break real quick.
Okay.
For our listeners out there, go learn about Caroline at necoaching.com. Again, that's necoaching.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Having a great conversation with Caroline here about coaching, the scientific method and stuff. And Caroline, during the break, I had a recall situation I want to kind of explain and then illustrate kind of what we're talking about. Person came to me one time, they were struggling with time management. And I said, well, what does time look like to you? to you. That's a very common question. When people say a word, you say, what does it look like? Because they'll describe it to you, and you'll have a better understanding exactly what you're talking about. She said, time is like a river. It flows. And, by the way, she said that, and that becomes our lens. Okay. It flows like a river. If time flows like a river, what would make the most sense for you to use to manage it? Some silence for a while. Well, how about a timeline? It runs from left to right.
Brilliant.
She'd never done that before. So we said, you know, you can't go into the self-help section of the bookstore and find a book, a bound timeline. So we had to draw it out for one day, you know, one line, 7 o'clock, you know, whatever. She came back a week later. She said it really, really helped. Because when she had an appointment, she would put a little bar, and we had a bunch of bars together. She said, it was like a city. It was really busy. And then there were no bars. It was like, you know, smooth sailing a little bit. And my point here really is that we found a solution for her that was very different. We discovered it. But by asking, how does time look, that was the lens. And we said, what would look like this? And we made a discovery by looking at time as a river, discovered, let's try a timeline, ran the experiment and got it. Also realized is that it was, when I asked her, how does she see time? It's like, how do you pay attention to time? Well, I see it as a river. So using how she saw time and she described it, we were able to discover a timeline worked for her. So, I mean, there's a lot there, but you want to, thoughts, questions, comments on that?
So what I was going to say is that what I love about this is that you're using this individual person's way of thinking rather
yes.
than sort of a one-size-fits-all. And the lens doesn't have to be a specific model. And it's not as if there are, you know, five models and you must use those. You create the lens based on what the person, their learning style, how they think, et cetera. So what I love about that is, you know my belief systems around this, Jeff, that it's very individualized.
Yes.
And what I was interested in is you had talked about activation once awareness is created. Tell me a little bit with this person, what do you see in terms of the activation? It sounds like it was there.
Yeah, well, here's what was funny is because she did the timelines and they worked. Okay, she went from, like, let's say 40% to about 90%. It wasn't perfect, but it worked, right? Then there was it was interesting because she knew it worked, right? But she had to get over the belief that she had to do it. Because calendars are, you read it top to bottom, left to right, and a timeline is just left to right. For whatever reason, it was much easier for her to read. So she had to let go of the belief that she had to use a calendar. So she actually, in this particular situation, she went to it really pretty quickly and really pretty easy. I mean, it was like we talked about it, I think, one more week later, and she had adopted the system because it was easy for her to let go of mainstream that you're supposed to do it with a calendar, and she ended up writing them all up. Sometimes in coaching, they find out what's easy, but they still don't want to do it because they still like, but I have to use a calendar, which is another belief thing to kind of get over. But what I really want to emphasize is when these things happen in coaching, the activation almost comes automatic because they always thought that way. It always worked that way. They just never noticed it worked that way. And then they move forward. And then there are people, and I'm sure you've coached them before, Caroline, where you find out what's easy peasy lemon squeezing, but they just don't want to do it like that, and they resist it. And that's where coaching kind of gets in because we can't force them. It's really a choice on their end. And I've had people before where, you know, I was coaching a woman one time, and we talked about how her success was always around people and how she talked out. Like for 9 months we talked about it. And then finally one day she got it. She hired a student to come over to sit with her, do homework while she made cold calls. It sounds kind of crazy, but it worked for her, but she resisted it. She said it, but she didn't really own it for about 9 months. And then finally it clicked, and then it was piece of cake.
Well, that makes total sense because what you're talking about is this concept that people are stuck in their belief systems and also the shoulds.
Yep.
You know, I should be able to make these cold calls by myself, but what we know about, you know, ADD is that if it doesn't work, then rather than hold on to that, you know, find a unique solution.
Yep.
But I think it's really important talking about those beliefs because I agree with you. A lot of times people have a thought or an idea about what they could do, but they're sort of afraid of it because it's out of the box.
Yep.
Go ahead.
You sparked something a second ago, and right now that I want to kind of illustrate coaching in a tool. When I went through Coaches Training Institute, which is life coaching class, they had something they called balance coaching. And it's just a tool. It's really just a lens that we've described, okay? Think of it in terms of a lens. And basically the strategy is this. Somebody would come to you and they would have an issue or problem, and you would ask them all kinds of questions about what it was really like to be where they were. Really ground them, really get them deep and anchored and really understand their perspective and just kind of take them down. Then you back up and you say, okay, tell you what, let's do this a little bit differently. And you'd say, and I'm going to be absurd here, what would John Wayne do? And the idea is, you'd bushwhack him at the pass. Oh, really? What would Marilyn Monroe do? Well, she'd throw a kiss at him or something. And you begin to ask them, what would a tree do or what would aliens do? And if the person, and some people are not open, this is a lens or a tool that you have to understand your audience. And sometimes they'll play around with you and they'll jump into those characters. And the thing is you go through like 10 of them. It didn't really matter. Sometimes it would take, 10, 15, but every once in a while they would say something, they would spark, it would sound like really, really good, or you'd get done with 10 of them, and you say, which one do you identify with the most? Well, the John Wayne thing. Okay, if he'd bushwhack them at the pass, what would that look like? Well, he would do this, and you begin to ask them questions in terms of that perspective, like, how would that really work, and how would that really play out? And it's a very, very, very effective tool that I use all the time, and as a lens, or a tool, lens, is that they pay attention to it one way, but you're asking them to basically step out and into character and blurt something out, i.e. pay attention to it, bushwhack them at the pass, and then explore what that looks like. So it's a tool to help them shift their attention and discover something that makes a little bit more sense. And I tell this because I've coached some people before where I'd say, what would Daffy Duck do? Now, some people like that. A CEO of a company might not gravitate to that, and so it might not be a really good tool. But I just wanted to take the time to illustrate that it's just a lens. It's just a tool. It wouldn't work the same for you, Carolyn, or anybody else because it would manifest differently from everybody else. So effectively, using these lenses, you never know what they're going to discover and what they're going to pay attention to. But that's what I say is it's most of the things that we have in our tool bag are lenses of sorts that we use for people to help them discover something different. Make sense?
I think that makes total sense because you're talking also about that sort of gut visceral reaction. And what I love about what you said too is that they made a discovery. So again, we go back to that creating an awareness of something or someone that they identify with and creating that visual picture of what it could look like. So tell me a little bit more about how this plays out back to the science of it.
A second ago you were talking about how this is based off of how everybody thinks, right?
Right.
Just change the word think for attention.
Okay.
Okay?
So how
they pay attention to, right? And we can't see that. So going back to the scientific method is we use these tools or lenses to help people observe and make a discovery and see things differently. It really comes down as simple as that. The problem with looking at this in terms of the scientific method is because it's the same process, but it looks so different because the tool, okay, the lens, for one person might see something, another person might see something different. So
there's
metaphorically, because we can't all see it. So, like, go back into the telescope thing. One person might look through the lens and see a planet. One person might see a galaxy. They're two completely different things. But nobody else can kind of get into their head and see and point anything else out. So it's a little bit random. You can't necessarily repeat the results from one individual to the next individual. But effectively, we're talking about the science of one here. And when you've got nothing to compare it to, then this is what to me science looks like using the scientific method. And everybody, I do need to make a disclaimer. This is the world according to Jeff and a model to kind of help understand the science of the process of coaching. I don't know if anybody will ever agree with this or stamp it other than just a context because you can't really prove it because you can't see it. But metaphorically, it's really helped me in coaching because, I go to these ACO conferences and stuff with you, Caroline. You walk in, and usually everybody's up there presenting some type of tool or some type of lens, and that's all I see it. And I go, oh, and that would look for some of my clients. That one won't work for most of them, but maybe these creative types it would. And just it brings it all together.
Well, I think it's wonderful because people at home can get a greater sense of what coaching is, but also if you are, you know, a person who's trying to look towards some self-discovery and figure out, you know, how do I activate myself? How do I get these things going? Or for your child, it really does help, you know, with the fact that if you ask some questions and if you try to ask them what it would look like, what do they think would help them,
yep,
they can start creating those awarenesses because it really does come from within the client.
It really, really does. It really does. I don't think I've ever told a client what to do when they did it. I've told them like my thoughts, and then they figure something even better out. But it's as individualized as the person.
Absolutely, and that's the best thing about coaching. So I actually do see the link there, and I really love this idea of creating awarenesses, and then that leads to this wonderful activation, like the woman who was able to get activated and do her work just by putting stuff outside the room in a chair. So, you know, I think it's a wonderful description.
It's funny you said that, and I just kind of probably should have said this earlier. When people call me, I say there's two kinds of coaches, ones that have the solution and going to coach your behavior to that. And to me, that's really more of a consultant. Then there's ICF coaches like us, whereas I don't have the solution, I'm going to help you discover it. And to me, that's really the demarcation, because anybody can call themselves a coach. And as a parent, as a teacher, as a boss, there's a little bit of teach, like, here, go do this, and coaching their behavior to that. But so often, as I say, if the obvious solution isn't working, you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And, you know, Caroline, by the time they get to me, they tried the top 10 list and it didn't work. And so that's why I think it's a little bit more effective not to be that consultant, but help them discover it, as opposed to tell them what to do and proving whatever they've been told to do doesn't work one more time. And again, I share that because to me, that's the demarcation. It's if you listen to the coach and they've got the solutions, they're really more of a consultant masquerading as a coach because the term is fashionable. But on the other side of it is if they're really, really about helping you discover what's going on, you can understand what the difference between those two paradigms are.
Absolutely. It makes total sense because if you know, what I always say is if we could do it, we would. And so what makes sense about that is that, you know, everybody has a unique solution that works for them. And me telling you to coach toward a certain solution is more than likely not going to work, and also, as you said, is not what we're all about. But that makes total sense. And I really love the idea, too, of everything coming from within the client because they really do have the answers. But like you said at the beginning, they can't put this lens up to themselves as easily, and we can't see what's going on in their brain unless we sort of use a lens to help them reflect what is going on.
Yeah, so to kind of bring this to a close, let's go back to the basketball metaphor. Okay?
All right.
We're
there.
Blindfolded basketball coaches, and the person, maybe you're dealing with a point guard, and you're trying to help them out. They're trying to make a move, and you might say, "What would Michael Jordan do?" That's just a question, right? And then all of a sudden they step in and they begin to look at themselves as Michael Jordan, and they begin to think, well, he would move his pivot foot and go around him. So you say, what would they do? Well, he would do this. Try it. Boom, they made the basket. Wow, it seemed to work. Now, I didn't see the action. I'm still blindfolded. But effectively, that metaphor I really think illustrates coaching is because we can't see the action on the floor. The what would Michael Jordan do is a way of looking at that situation and making an observation and pay attention to something differently. Then you run the experiment. If it works, then that person made the discovery. So the deal of the show that I wanted to kind of illustrate is coaching, to me, is as scientific as anything else, but by the nature that we can't see the action, only the person can, that makes it different. And that's why our lenses look so different from the more physical sciences world.
That makes total sense. And I love that we've talked all about coaching and how it works, and giving people the idea of really how, you know, the coach just shares with them and allows them to see and create these new awarenesses. So I think that this is a great concept, and I hope people will get a little bit of information that helps them activate and feel better and really discover their strengths. So thank you for sharing that with me, Jeff.
Well, no,
this was great.
No. thank you for coming on and questioning me, because I can be a little heady about some things sometimes, but just because of the way I think, I've got to boil it down to a construct that I can put everything and make some sense of it. So it was, I'm thrilled you asked, and I really certainly appreciate sharing, because it's fun for me. Not everybody can appreciate it, or you don't always need it, but it's a great concept. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Anytime.
All right, everybody. Check out Caroline's website at necoaching.com, and we'll catch you next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.